Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 169, week of December 22nd, 2012. This is likely going to be, well, first of all, thanks for coming along. Appreciate you downloading the show. If you're a new user, or new listener, rather, thanks for finding the show. This is actually going to be a kind of a part two discussion of the run-walk method of marathoning and ultra-marathoning. If you're a new listener, I recommend you go back and listen to episode 168, which you can find on iTunes if you search Ashland Dave in the store, or if you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, you'll find all the podcasts listed there. But for returning listeners, thanks for coming back. I really appreciate you downloading the show, as always. This is going to be a bit of a continuation, as I mentioned, about the run-walk debate and discussion. I'm not quite ready to let that one go yet, I guess. And this will likely be the last podcast of 2012, unless I get a wild hair and decide to put another one out there. But 169 episodes, not too bad over the last couple years. I still enjoy doing the show. I'll continue to do it as long as I have something to say. And people are willing to listen, which is always evident by the number of downloads that the show gets. So if the number of downloads, you know, starts to dry up considerably, then that will be my key to, my clue, I guess, that the show will is meeting its end, but I'm not anywhere near that yet. So this is not a foreshadowing or anything like that. So this will be a continued discussion about my reaction to Joe Terracani's interview with Dr. Jason Karp over on the Marathon Show podcast. I don't know which episode that was, but if you go back and listen to 168, if you don't know, you'll get it. This was the interview where the guest did not know that the host who's doing the interview was a run walker and had done a significant amount of marathons with that method and enjoyed it and encouraged other people to do marathons and check out the limits of their endurance with whether they run, walk, crawl, you know, walk backwards, walk on their hands, you know, who cares. And there was a real awkward moment in the interview with Jason Karp, where he then put on this the purist hat, and he thought that all marathons should be run, no walking whatsoever, and then that was the kind of the catalyst for why I produced episode 168, which was called Run Walk Run Walk, and I guess it's kind of it hits a soft spot or a sensitive spot in me. Because I found that the run walk, which is encouraged by Jeff Galloway, who was on the Olympic marathon team. I think he was actually a backup or a substitute or something like that. He encourages it, and it reduces injury and can improve performance if you let it. And I found that it has helped me get to a point where I can enjoy the distance running and endurance running, walking, you know, endurance events, you know, however you slice it, without having to ice my knees down for, you know, most of the afternoon when I get back, or, you know, later in the morning for when I get back from a long training event or training run or whatever. And when I say training run, I'm using training run as in I'm running the majority of it, walking a minority of it. You know, and in the last podcast, I mentioned several times, okay, if the purists are going to say you can't walk at all, well, then that means you can't stop and go to the bathroom. You can't walk through a water stop. You literally have to run through the water stop, and you can't walk at all. I mean, that if you're a purist, and that's what this guy Karp was saying, is that you can't walk at all, that you shouldn't do it. And I kind of debated that, saying, well, you know, then you got to crap, you know, shit down your leg if you got to go number two then, because you can't stop. And if you do, then you're in the same category as me, as someone that's in the leper colony, and you're not allowed to participate in these events. So we'll get into a little bit of that as the show goes on. But let me talk about the Seashore Nature Trail 50K a little bit. Had a couple of listeners that participated in that. Ashland Tom, Ashland Rodney being two from here in the immediate local area. And then, of course, a couple people from Team Incognito, which would be John King and Kelly Browning. And then also from the Lumberjack blog, which is Neil, he's a regular listener to the show. I'm going to link to his blog. It's tk421.blogspot.com, and that's the letters TK, numbers 42, and then 1 spelled out, O-N-E, blogspot.com. I'll link to that at ashlanddave.podbean.com. He has got an excellent race report about it, and this guy's got a lot of guts, and he takes lots of photos, and he put them up on his blog. And so Tom and Rodney, if you guys listen to this show, I think Tom listens. I'm not sure if Rodney does or not anymore. Go over to his blog and check out the pictures. He may even be in some of them. I haven't gone through all of them, but he's got a very, very good race report. So I encourage anybody to do that that's interested, and especially Tom and Rodney. Go over there and check out Neil's race report on that. And I'm sure there were others down there that did the race. I probably know a couple others. Dave Williams from Mechanicsville, not the one down under. He also did the Seashore Nature Trail 50K. This was a race down at the Seashore First Landing State Park is where it was. It used to be called Seashore State Park, but now it's called First Landing State Park, and it's right there on the Chesapeake Bay. Pretty gorgeous area. I did it in his first year in 2009. Anyway, David Williams also went down there did it. I was trying to get him to take my race bib for the upcoming 50K in January that I'm not going to be able to do. So I'll talk about that some more at the end of the podcast, see if someone wants to take that over. But well done, David. I think that was your first 50K. And send me an email. Let me know how the run-walk method worked for you in that ultra, I presume. That's probably what you did. 31 miles is a long way to run without stopping or taking on any fuel. So that's the that was the Seashore Nature Trail 50K. It's a pretty decent event. The year I participated in was just full of mud, but I've heard the successful consecutive years has also been a good event. And, of course, Tom and Rodney have been down there every year, and so has John King of Team Incognito. Okay, I want to comment on one other thing before I kind of get into the meat of the podcast. My daughter plays basketball, and she has a practice on Tuesday nights over at the YMCA. We live really close to the YMCA, and real nice facility. In the area that we live in, the metro Richmond area, for the most part, the YMCAs are very nice facilities, not, you know, run down whatsoever. In fact, the one we have here in Ashland is new within the last 2 years. They built an indoor track. The only problem with the track is it's a 16th of a mile, so you lose track really quick. I get it. Get the pun. You lose track really fast of how many laps you've done. And what they do is they put an arrow at the entrance to the track. They put an arrow telling you which way it's going to be going for that day. And there's still these morons that go the wrong way. And I'll give you an example. What I do is I'll run on the tread. When my daughter has basketball, I'll work out at the Y. And I've talked about this before. I'll run a half mile on the treadmill, go out there and do a half mile on the track just to break it up, because it's kind of hard for me to run on the treadmill longer than, you know, 10 minutes or so. Not that it takes me 10 minutes to go a half mile. But anyway, so when I'm on the treadmill, I'm on the one that's really close to the entrance to the track, so I'm watching what's going on the track, as well as the TVs and, you know, everybody else walking around, looking at themselves in the mirrors. I always like to people watch, probably more than necessary. And I noticed that there were people going the wrong way on the track, and it just baffled me. It really did. I just don't even understand the thinking behind people when they enter the track and they notice they're going the wrong way of somebody else. And, you know, because there's only three lanes, and it's just, I don't know, it's just so ridiculous. And then when I ran the other day, it was doing some loops on the track, there were these young, I would say probably maybe early 20s people that had just stopped three abreast in the track and were all looking at their devices. And I had to literally say excuse me when I got up to them, because they didn't move when I got there. And I actually brushed past one of the people kind of a little intentionally. I avoided them, but I kind of brushed them just to kind of make my point a little bit, and that's the kind of asshole I am, I guess, sometimes. But hopefully they got the message, and they did clear the area after that. But my point was not to hurt anybody. It was just to kind of show that they had congested the area, and I was trying to get through, and I was running. And when you're running around on a track, you really shouldn't have to run in and out of people. You shouldn't have to. You should be able to just run your pace in the lane that you're in, unless you have to pass somebody. But you shouldn't have to go in and out and meander around the small track because there's people running the wrong way or people stopped. And one thing that I have noticed, one of many that I've noticed with this track, is that the track overlooks the gymnasium, which is where all the basketball is going on. And I've noticed that people go out and lean over the railing to look down into the gym to watch. And that's really not the point, because that's one of the lanes on the track. So, again, if you listen to this podcast on a regular basis, you know that I have these regular things that irk me. And I like to bring them up because that's just that's the kind of podcaster I am. All right, let's get into the meat of this this debate here. I've got still a bone to pick with Jason Karp, and I'm not really interested in what he thinks about my opinion, because he probably doesn't even know about this podcast. But what he did is he went on got interviewed by Joe Terracotta of the Marathon Show podcast, which is a pretty good, very positive vibe type of podcast. And he was marketing his book, Marathon for Dummies or Marathoning for Dummies. Now, that premise right there is, you know, if everybody knows about the Dummy series, it's essentially books that just kind of break it down for you for something that you're trying to figure out. And they're tutorials. They're not shortcuts, you know, they're not Cliff's Notes types of things, but they are, you know, they kind of break down a situation or a task or some type of technology, and to make it easy to understand. And I have not looked at the book Marathoning for Dummies because I'm not going to order it, but if it's in the same series, which it is, I'm sure it breaks it down and essentially explains how to run a marathon and how to train for a marathon. Now, so the whole premise of him being a purist but then writing a book called Marathoning for Dummies to me is just a little bit hypocritical, I guess. And it just, like I was saying earlier in the podcast, it just got really, really weird in that interview. It was kind of, there's some tension there. And I thought Joe did a great job. And I actually went to his website, and I'm going to share with you the comment that I did on his website. And what that was you know, this is Joe. And I said, "Hey, Joe, interesting interview with Dr. Karp. He really backed off his purist perspective after learning that you are a run-walk marathoner." He, meaning Dr. Karp, he cited the Olympic marathon being founded as a running event. Well, it still is. People don't walk in the Olympic marathon. The other marathons around the country are recreational, and they have their professional divisions. He should lobby the race directors to change race qualifications if he's that interested in educating people. People sign up for marathons because they are allowed to. I see his position, but just don't agree with it. My walking in a race does nothing to hinder him except hurt his feelings for what a marathon should be. He should focus on the elite runners who don't walk, but then elite runners don't pay him for coaching. People like me would. And what Joe email me back saying, "You're right. I should have asked him to direct his ire towards race directors. Plus, Corral 10 never gets in the way of elite or Corrals 1 through 9. Thank you for this note." Now, in the Richmond Marathon, and thanks, Joe, for responding back. I know you don't listen to this podcast, but you do have a good podcast on your own, and I appreciate that, and I'm happy to I'll try to link to that, too. I'll make a note. So if you can't find the Marathon Show podcast, go to Ashland Dave at ashlanddave.podbean.com, and I'll link it under episode number 169. You know, and you know, go ahead and make ashlanddave.podbean.com your homepage if you want. You know, you can just check out my podcast on a daily basis. I'm just kidding. All right. So obviously, in this interview, Jason Karp was talking about how people who walk have ruined the marathon, and he cited how the marathon started and by Pheidippides, and how the Olympic marathon was, I guess, was engineered to commemorate that first run of Pheidippides. And you know, my statement is, well, the Olympic marathon hasn't changed at all, has it? I mean, people don't walk in the Olympic marathon unless they're hurt. they run it. That has the best runner. So that race hasn't changed at all. And if you look at any top marathon in the country, or even secondary marathons, which keep it in mind, Dr. Karp, people are allowed to put on because it's a free country. The marathon is not a copyrighted event that people have to seek permission to do. I mean, anybody can go put on a marathon and get the course certified if they want. They don't have to run it. They don't have to certify that it's just going to be runners in that event. But if you look at any of the major marathons and look at all the people that line up at the front, you know, how is my participating at the back of that pack have anything to do with those elite runners? Okay. And then when you watch a marathon on TV, such as the Boston Marathon, they're not showing any of the schmucks at the end, you know, who are walking through water stops or people standing in line for the porta-johns. Nobody really cares about those people. They're not the top runners. The only people that care about those people are themselves, really. So I still don't understand how people who walk some in the marathon, okay, regardless of how much, ruins the sport for Dr. Karp, okay? Now, I'm going to go to an article that I found that just has a couple quotes. This isn't going to be I don't really do research for this podcast, but this was, looks like a post on Gothamist, which is, I guess, a website in New York, by L&T in Arts and Entertainment on October 23rd, 2009. And it quotes Adrian Wald, who's 54 years old, and at least in 2009 was the women's cross-country coach at the College of New Rochelle. And she ran her first marathon in 1984, and she said, quote, "It used to be that running a marathon was worth something. There used to be a pride saying that you ran a marathon, but not anymore. Now it's how low is the bar," unquote. Okay, well, let's think about that for a second. It used to be that running a marathon was worth something. There used to be a pride saying that you ran a marathon, but not anymore. I guess that's from her perspective, because I've got a lot of pride saying that I finished a marathon, ran it, walked it, whatever. And because here's the thing, in the finishing results, it doesn't say that you ran or walked or how many minutes you walked or how many minutes you ran. It doesn't say. It really doesn't. And she says it used to be that running a marathon was worth something. Well, I'm sorry, Adrienne, that it's not worth something to you anymore. And that's a shame, because it still is quite an accomplishment. And maybe you need to find something more challenging if it's not worth anything to you anymore. Hey, I know. Why don't you go run a 50-miler and see if you can run the whole 50 miles, okay? Maybe that would be worth something for you. You know, whatever. All right, let's go to the next person. Quoted in the same article, John Bingham, who is known as the Penguin. He's credited with starting the slow running movement, which he's been told has ruined the sport of running. And he quotes, this is his quote. Quote, "The complainers are just a bunch of ornery, grumpy people who want the marathon all to themselves and don't want the slower runners. But too bad, the sport is fueled and funded by people like me," unquote. And that's where I'm coming from, okay? The marathon is funded. Now, these big city marathons, do you think if you had 30 elite runners who would run that event would be able to take place? Negative. Negative. That would have to take place around the track. You cannot have these big city marathons going through the streets of the large cities for 30 people and stopping the whole city for 30 to 40 elite runners. It's just not going to happen on a regular basis. It's just not. It just costs too much. So you open it up to recreational people. Okay, you know, these are recreational events. You know, they're all sanctioned, I guess, by the United States Track and Field because they're certified courses. But if the U.S. Track and Field people wanted them, you know, then let them have a cutoff at 3 hours. You know, I guess anybody that can run in under 3 hours to me is an elite marathoner. That's in my opinion. Okay, that's my perspective. Just like everybody, you know, this guy Karp has his perspective that, you know, you have to run it in order to participate in it. Well, what's the pace then, Carp? You know, what's the pace that you have to maintain? Because if I run at a 10-minute pace for the whole thing, does that mean I'm allowed to participate? Or do I have to run at a faster pace? You know, or does that ruin it for you? And so I have this vision of you know, he runs his race and he's up there and he's 3 miles ahead of me, and his whole experience just sucks because I'm back in the back behind him. You know, I don't understand how that ruins his experience or ruins the sport. I guess by the same token, I guess he's against flag football because they don't have pads. You know, I don't know, or against maybe little league football because it's not real baseball. It's just kids playing and trying to learn the sport. But, you know, and everybody gets to play. Maybe that's not good enough either. Very exclusionary, and it's just something that I've got issue with. And I guess I just can't quite let it go yet. I won't do a third podcast about it. But I'll probably finish my opinion up in this one. And it just really, really bothers me that someone's going to try to make money on a book called Marathoning for Dummies, but yet they don't want to include, you know, a certain class of people in the race. And I guess by the same token, these guys, the wheelchair racers, I guess they're not even marathoners to him either. I mean, can you imagine cranking your body with your arms for 26.2 miles? You know, there might be some downhills, but think about the uphills. I mean, just think about how your arm, those arm muscles, would burn so bad from flexing them. And I guess they're not good enough either for Jason Karp. So he probably didn't think a lot of these things out before he brought up the purist perspective in that interview. And now it's there for all to listen to. And maybe he'll sell his book. I don't know. I did go to his website. He seems to be pretty accomplished himself, but unfortunately he just believes that there's a whole group of people that have no right to be involved in the sport. And like I said in a previous podcast, I guess if I can only run, you know, 5 miles before I have to take a bit of a walk break or drink some water, I guess that's all I'm allowed to do as Ashland Dave, because I can't go any farther without taking a walk break or having to go to the bathroom, or, you know, stopping back by the car to get a rock out of my shoe, or, you know, all these things. He didn't think of any of these things before he started talking about his purist perspective. And we've got some emails here in the email bag section of the show that I'll get to in a minute that kind of expand on that a little bit. I want to talk about one thing that I've added to the website over at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And what it is, it's something from what's called, I think it's called SpeakPipe. And what I do is you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, and I've changed the theme of the website also. It's got a little panoramic image header, or I guess header image of downtown Ashland with the railroad tracks going through the middle of town, and it has the, it's not really the best picture in the world. But I just wanted to change the theme a little bit. But what I was able to do was on the far, far right of your screen, you'll see, and it's all the way on the side of the, I don't know why it's not in the actual content of the website, but it's a sidebar widget, but it's a sidebar that goes all the way to the right and has a little microphone, and it's vertical words that says send voicemail. And you click on that, and you can actually send me directly from the website a voicemail message to my inbox in an MP3 format. And what I would like to do is, if you decide to do that, and you can, I'll incorporate it into the podcast. So I'll have some, in the email bag section of the show, I'll have some voicemail bag section of the show. And you can start your recording, and then you can stop it, and you can play it again to see if it sounds okay. And all you need is a microphone. And what I do on my MacBook Pro is our microphone is, I think, is the speakers we have plugged in. And it just records it and emails it to me in an MP3 format where I can easily incorporate it into the show. So if you've never heard yourself, you know, your voice, how it travels through the internet, then check it out. And if you have some feedback or comments on the show, and you don't want to type out an email, all you got to do is, I guess you can do it from a wireless device. I tried to do it from my daughter's iPod Touch here in the house, and it didn't show that sidebar widget. But if you have a more sophisticated device, surely you can do it. And Try it out. If you want to send me a voicemail, it's not, you don't have to call any number. All you do is click on that and say your piece. And as long as you don't have profanity in it, and as long as it's beneficial to other listeners, I will include it in the show. If it's just a rant about how much you hate the podcast and how much of a jerk you think I am, clearly I'm not going to put that in there. So I'm just going to try this out. And this is courtesy of Scott Johnson of the Computer Tutor in Florida podcast. And I will talk about his podcast when I get to his email. So, Scott, thanks for the idea. And I'll get to your email here in just a second. All right, well, let's get to the email bag section of the show and see who checked in this week. I heard from Tom, and Tom is at the Master Competitor blog. And what we did is he had a whole entry on his blog about throwing walkers under the bus, and he linked to my show, and he had a pretty good perspective on it. Tom and I have exchanged some ideas over the last year. Saw him at a race, the Charlotte Ultra last year, but I missed talking to him, but I remember seeing him now. And he's got a real good perspective, so I'd encourage you to go over to mastercompetitor.blogspot.com and check out his perspective on the run walk thing. And what he did is he's in a running club, and there was a guy that posted on his website, and this, I'm not going to say the guy's name because I'm not going to dog everybody except for this guy Carp, who's trying to sell something based on his contrary idea of what he really thinks about what they're doing. So I don't think that's really that a good thing to do, but it's a free country. But anyway, this guy on Tom's Running Club on their message board posted, "Once again, I'm being an old crank, but if you plan to walk in a marathon, then you didn't, quote, run the marathon. If you don't think you can complete the distance without walking, it means you need to train harder. Nobody said this is easy." Yeah, I agree with you. And Wayne, I'd like to know if you've ever used the bathroom during the marathon. And if you have, then, did you immediately run as soon as you opened the door of the Port-a-John? And actually, if you stopped running, then, and sat on the toilet or even, just went in the Port-a-John, that means you weren't running. So clearly you didn't run the whole marathon either, man. Sorry. If you're going to say that, then you just have to learn how to not go to the bathroom for 3.5 hours or whatever it takes you to run your marathon. And then Tom's opinion was that he thinks it's more of an elitist point of view rather than a purist point of view. And I would see that. And everybody's entitled to their point of view in the debate. My big thing with Carp is he's selling something, again, which is contrary to what he really thinks people should be doing. And, if you're going to do that, which I know people do all over the world, they're selling a product that maybe they don't really believe in. At least they kind of keep it to themselves, I guess, is what I'm getting at. So, Tom, thanks for the... for checking in, and I guess I'll miss you at the Charlotte Ultra this year. I'm hoping to get my training up for that. Hopefully your back will be doing better, and certainly be nice to run into you one of these days down there. Also heard from Scott Johnson. He's the one that turned me on to that SpeakPipe thing. He is the host of a weekly podcast called The Computer Tutor, which I am now a subscriber of. And the great thing about this podcast is it's between 10 and 20 minutes. So you can get some good tips about things on involving your computer, different websites out there. And in the latest episodes that I listened to was the Fiverr website, where there's hundreds of people selling things for $5, and then our services, and then and running from the most normal to the most bizarre. So go check it out. It's I think Fiverr, if I'm not mistaken. And then the other was the SpeakPipe feature that I've added to ashlanddave.podbean.com, and I'm just going to kind of get an idea, see how that works. So go check that out at ashlanddave.podbean.com, the voicemail feature, all the way over to the right, outside of the field of the website, of the web page. You have to go to almost the right side of your monitor to check it out, and you click on that. And that was Scott who hooked me into that. But in his email, he said he can certainly understand how I had a hard time not continuing to rant about the goof, meaning Carp, contradicted himself several times, put out so much bad information it was ridiculous. And Scott writes, as a computer guy, I've never liked the For Dummies series of books anyway because they try so hard to be funny and they just are not funny. He said the sad part of the guy's interview was when he related... Oh, that's right. He related one of the funny sections that he put in the book and the joke went over like a turd in the punch bowl. And, you know, Scott, you're absolutely right. And when I read your email, I remembered that part. And I'm going to say this again. If you want to listen to an interesting podcast where it's kind of like watching a train wreck, and it's, you know, you watch it, but you don't want to watch it, or kind of like looking at mannequins when you go down the side of the road, you really shouldn't look at mannequins because they're kind of creepy, but you can't help yourself doing it. That's exactly what that interview was, and that's over at the Marathon Show podcast. And I'm going to link to that at ashlanddave.podbean.com. So well done, Scott. And then Scott wrote... Also, yeah, right, Joe did a good job of holding back, and what he probably really wanted to say was very professional. And Scott said he probably would have hung up on the guy because what he was doing was a disservice to the running community. And I got another one from him. He said, let's see. Okay, well, that was just more of a personal thing between me and Scott. Sorry about that, Scott. I do appreciate you listening to the show. And I do like your podcast. It's really cool. You have a great demeanor on there. Heard from Dr. Smitty, and he didn't get to finish Memphis. Asked him about how his running streak was going. And as of December 13th, his running streak is at 350 days. And I think, but he's got a new streak. At his new house, he's got a hot tub. He said the hot tub streak is at 11 days. And he said usually a beer accompanies the hot tub, too. So that means it sounds like he's probably had at least one beer a day for 11 days, which isn't too bad. I saw another email for posting somewhere from Dr. Smitty that I think his dog got out of the house and they had to go track his dog down. But anyway, let's see here. Greg had some other stuff in his email that I can't really share because he kind of went off on that guy that I've talked about who was the purist. So, Greg, thanks for the email, and I hope that – I'm guessing you're going for 365. I mean, gosh, you're almost there. And I think I forget, but what was your mile minimum? I guess you did a 2 or 3 mile minimum? I can't really remember. But be nice to hear from you again. Hope to hear from you soon. Also heard from Scott Shoemate. Scott Shoemate is one of the folks that did the Colonial 200 that I've exchanged some emails with and listens to the show. And we had a little email discussion about how the one beer after the Richmond Marathon, the one free beer, was pretty weak. He commented that a race company down in the Virginia Beach area called J&A Racing puts on a very good event, which is the Shamrock Marathon, with a great post-race party with at least a few beers, etc. And yeah, Scott, and for anybody else out there, the Shamrock Marathon is an awesome event, and the post-race party right on the beach, and you finish on the boardwalk, and then you walk down the steps down into the sand, and they have all the food and beer under these large tents, enclosed tents, because it is cool outside. But if the sun's out, it's very nice just to sit out on the sand and kind of soak up the heat. Great, just a great event down there, and I've got some friends that are going to be doing it this year. I'm not going to be doing it, but I do think my friend Judd might be running his first marathon in March, and I'm not sure. I'd love to be there for that. So, Scott, good to hear from you, and I really do appreciate that a lot, that you listen to the show, and again, one of these days, I hope I run into you. Well, I heard from Tim, and Tim Clearly from the Abuelo Runs blog, and I got an audio clip from him, so let's take a listen to that and see what Tim had to say. Yeah, his reference to Coach Jay in his audio clip is Jason Karp, the guy that did the interview I've been talking about.
Hey Dave, it's Tim Clearly. Just finished listening to 168. Another good podcast. Got to tell you, I agree 100% with you on the comments relative to Coach Jay. I happened to listen to that Marathon Report podcast, and I thought, holy moly, he's really kind of slamming us mid-pack runners who, as you said, are out there to enjoy the race, enjoy the camaraderie and to make ourselves more fit. You know, I think they're missing the big picture, the purest, on what it means to have more people run 5Ks, 10Ks, half a marathon, and fulls. So I just wanted to let you know I'm in your camp on that one. Also, decided to send this audio so you could put a voice with a name. You mentioned you were putting a face to a name with Dave from Down Under. So I thought, let me try this. I hope you have a good Christmas. Love the show. And keep it up. Thanks a lot. Bye.
And thanks, Tim. And again, I'll take emails and audio clips at ashlanddave@gmail.com, or you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and check out that new SpeakPipe feature on the sidebar widget. Tim writes at the abuelorunns.com website, and I'll go ahead and link to that also. He's got a good race report on the Chickamauga Marathon back in November. I think I got that pronounced right, Tim. And he broke 4 hours. So well done, Tim. Congratulations on that. That is something that I'm not sure I'll ever do, but it always is a goal. So well done on that. And thanks again for sending in the audio clip. I do appreciate that. That was pretty cool. All right, we heard from Sandy, of course. And looking forward to meeting Sandy at the Blue Ridge Marathon in April. And she has got an event called the Center of the Nation Series that I asked a little bit more information about. And what I'm going to go ahead and do is just briefly describe that here. And so if you're interested in that, you know, you definitely can listen for the next few minutes. I'm going to talk about the Center of the Nation Series. So the Center of the Nation Series is a series of 5 marathons in 5 days in 5 states. And they have, they're listed on a website at mainlymarathons.com/center_series. And it's North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, and Nebraska, which is September 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th of 2013. And it's just looks like I haven't mapped any of these things, but I'm pretty sure these are all pretty close together. I mean, they have to be for you to travel. And Sandy's thinking, I think she's already tried, she's already registered for it for next year. And it certainly looks really interesting. The closest airport is Rapid City, South Dakota. All driving distances before and after are less than 200 miles each day. There's no time limit, no runners left behind. Walkers are welcome. Okay, that says it right on the website. So I'm sure Dr. Karp would just love that. I'm sure this website is just killing him, you know, if he hears about this website, he's just ruining everything for him. And they actually are going to give awards to those who come in last. So it's a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek type of thing. But Sandy, I wish you the best on that. I'm sure I want to hear more about that when I meet up with you in April. And that sounds like that'd be pretty cool. And man, that retired lifestyle was really, really doing you wonders. I can't wait to get there. I really can't. So thanks for sharing that with me. And let's see, you said that you have to do one of the qualifying runs. And oh no, I think that was I got so many emails in my inbox from Sandy when we go back and forth. I just can't really remember what she's commenting on, but I'll get that all figured out one of these days. Also heard from David Williams Down Under, and he is tuning up for the Cadbury Marathon in Tasmania, which is the southernmost Aussie state. And I think I went over this. Actually, I think I talked about this in the last podcast where we actually got a picture of him. I talked about this in 168. Sorry about that, David, Down Under, but I think I have something from you in my inbox. Yeah, sure do. Merry Christmas back to you, Dave. I got an email from him about 4 or 5 days ago. And he said it's fantastic about the people that you meet out on the roads and the trails during the races. And he says that a group of Japanese runners that he met in the Cook Islands this year are coming down to run in the marathon in January. So he's brushing up on his non-existent Japanese. And yeah, how do you do that? How do you brush up on something you don't know? That's pretty good. Anyway, David was just really thanking me for being a good running friend over the past year, and he's looking forward to more of the same in 2013. And David, I wish you the same too. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And why don't you take advantage of that SpeakPipe voicemail system and send me an audio clip after you meet up with the Japanese folks and tell me how that went. That'd be really cool to hear how things go. So thanks to hear from you. Also heard from Brian. He got the DVDs up in Canada, so I guess the postal system works. And he sent me a couple of links that, unfortunately, Ryan, I have not been able to fully check yet. But I'll get to those, and actually what I'll do is I'll put those in the next show. And just trying to see if I think that's about all I've got for this episode. This is Ashland Dave, and I'm running the center of the universe, reminding you to check out ashlanddave.podbean.com. Check out the new SpeakPipe voicemail feature if you want to submit an MP3 audio clip for the podcast, because I don't know about you, but I think I would probably get a real kick out of hearing my own voice in a podcast when I'm out listening to someone else's podcast, because you never know where I'm going to put that audio clip, and you never know what kind of commentary I'm going to have around it. So I want to know, I'm going to see who the first one is to try that out. I don't have any prizes, except that I'll just give you a virtual prize on the podcast. But go to ashlanddave.podbean.com. Check out the voicemail feature, which is completely free, except for the cost of you having to power up your computer or other device. And check it out. Or you can send me a regular email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And next up for me is the Charlotte Ultra, which is Super Bowl weekend. I'm hoping to be able to do that. I'm going to have to pass on the Willis River 50K this year because I'm on call that week. And then the Blue Ridge Marathon on April 20th. And I was at a Christmas party the other night and found out that a friend of my wife, really, is how I met her, but a friend named Prissy is going to be doing that as well. And she had recommended staying in the Hotel Roanoke, which is kind of funny because that is where I actually had my first swim lessons when I was in kindergarten, because I used to live in the Roanoke area when I was a little boy. However, they were, because that's right at the start finish line apparently, but that was booked, so I'm going to actually be staying, going to be getting rooms at the Cambria, it looks like, and that is one of the race motels, and it's the same one where Sandy and her husband are staying, so we'll be able to hook up with them and visit and whatnot and howdy do and meet and greet and all that good stuff. So Happy New Year, Merry Christmas. Hope your running goals, if you have, I don't do New Year's resolutions, but if you're setting any New Year's resolutions for yourself and you've never run a marathon and it's just been nagging at you, set it as a goal for 2013. And whether you walk to the finish line, run to the finish line, crawl, do a handstand, walk backwards, moonwalk, you know, if you're in a wheelchair, however, it's a pretty cool feeling being at the Finish Line Festival of a Marathon, because you know what? When you're in the finish line area, nobody really cares whether you ran, walked, or whatever. And they don't give you a stamp saying that you ran the whole way. And frankly, it really doesn't matter in the long run. So that's me, Ashland Dave, signing off for 2012, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. And don't forget to hug your kids.